it seems like it wasn't too long ago. You got a praise? I don't know if we can take it. Tell us. Yeah. Hey. Right. Amen. 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 That's good. And another praise is that Teresa had enough courage to stand up, and I tried to get her to, when the ladies came back to the prayer advance, I wanted to get her to talk, and she goes, oh, no, I can't talk. But you know, when you think about this, like, what are we afraid of? What are we, when we, and a lot of people have trouble talking, I mean, I remember when I first preached, what are we afraid of in talking to a bunch of people? Yeah, it all boils down to really, you know, it's just a pride thing. You know, we think we want to make a mistake or something. That's what it boils down to. But, you know, the best thing to do in that, and I like this, you know, when we pray, is just let, you know, we want God's will to be done. That's the main thing. Try not to dictate, you know, to God what, you know, what we want to happen. But that sounds great for Ramon. His name is Ramon. And keep him lifted up in prayer like that. That's awesome hear that, and God's working. So, God can do it. God's still on the throne. Amen. Thank you, Teresa, for that. It seems like just not too long ago, it seems like I preached on this text. Probably didn't do it any justice then, and I may struggle with it today. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, Mark chapter 12, verse 30, you're right. The Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless your word and preaching of your word. Lord, I pray you use this outline and use me. Lord, I pray that we can learn, glean, gain, whatever you have for us, Lord. Just put it into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now this was, of course, if you have a red letter Bible, you understand that's Jesus' words. Jesus himself said, this is the first and the great commandment. He said, there's none greater than this. This is the great, this is it. This is the top of it all. The greatest commandment right there, the first commandment. He said, I want to look at that first. It's first in its antiquity. You know, this commandment is actually greater. We think about the Ten Commandments. It was before the Ten Commandments. You know, before God created the earth, he had this commandment. I believe that the angels were bound by this command. I don't believe the angels needed, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not murder. I don't believe they needed that. But they did need the command to love God with all their heart, if they have a soul, all their mind, all their strength, that they had to love God. No greater commandment than this, and so it was first in that sense. It was binding. When you think about Adam and Eve, this commandment was binding. When you think about Adam, when he was first born first created, when God created Adam, that he had a relationship with God. I mean, no one else. I mean, there wasn't anyone else. And so this commandment would have been bound to him that he would love God with, with all his heart, his soul, his strength, and with all his mind. And then even when Eve came along, when Adam came along and he was by himself, he didn't need a command not to murder. There wasn't anybody to kill. He didn't need a command not to steal. There wasn't anything from anybody to steal other than God. There wasn't any no one to lie to other than God. Of course, sin hadn't entered into the world, and he wouldn't have done any of those things at that point in his life anyway. But he still had a command to love God with all his heart, his mind, and his soul, and all his strength. So it's first in its antiquity. It's first in its regards to dignity. Because, see, this command deals with the Almighty God and actually our relationship with the Almighty God. Now, listen here. Our relationship with Almighty God must take precedence. This is what it's telling us. It must take precedence over every other relationship. Nothing, this is what God is saying, that nothing else can be greater than your love that you have for me. This is a command by God himself. It deals with man and his creator. And breaking this commandment brings the wrath of God. Breaking this commandment brings the wrath of God. And so, if we break the laws of man, and a lot of laws, and Teresa was just sharing with us there, I mean, some laws were broken, and there was a penalty for that. But that penalty can be borne. I mean, we can bear that penalty in most cases. We can bear it. There might be some time. It, you know, might be jail time, might be a fine, might be a penalty. But when we break this command with God, its penalty is too heavy to bear. The penalty for not loving God with all your heart is too heavy to bear. He said it was the first commandment, and then he said it was the great commandment. He said there's none greater than this. Why? Because every other commandment is contained in this commandment. Every other commandment. You know, if you study your Bible, if you've studied your Bible, you'll know the Ten Commandments. The first half of the Ten Commandments deals with our relationship to God, and God should be first. And the second half deals with our relationship to our fellow man. It's all wrapped up in this. When Jesus said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, not make any graven image, not bow down to any graven image, nor serve them, not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He summed it all up in this commandment right here when he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. If we love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we're not going to have another God before him. And we're not going to make a graven image to bow down and worship. We're not going to bow down to it if we did make one. We're not going to take the Lord God's name in vain. We're going to remember his day and make it holy, the Sabbath day the Jews had. That, by the way, that command is the only command that's not repeated in the New Testament, because we worship God on the Lord's day, which is today, and we worship God on every day, actually, should be every day. And so he summed that up when God said, in the second half of the Ten Commandments, honor thy mother and thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Then he summed it all up by saying that you would love your neighbor as yourself. It's all wrapped. Those two things. That's all you got to know. This is all you got to know. You don't have to remember all the commandments in the Bible. And listen, there's more commands in the Bible than the Ten Commandments. Because when we get to the New Testament, you know, God said some other things to his children. He said, there's a lot more. It makes it simple. If you just love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, I'm going to tell you what, that'll solve a multitude of sins right there. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, and don't you know we love ourselves a lot, don't we? Huh? We love ourselves, buddy. We take care of ourselves. That last chicken leg on the table, on the plate, we're going to get it, right? We love ourselves, but if we love our neighbor as ourselves, huh? If we loved our neighbor that much, boy, wouldn't that solve a lot of the world's issues right there, huh? I mean, wouldn't that solve some problems? Man, all the robbery would end, and all the hate and discontent and the prejudices and the murders and the rapes and all the things that go on. If we loved our neighbor as ourselves, huh? We very few people in their right mind harm themselves. They don't harm themselves. But see, so God wraps it up. It's great. It's great in its comprehensiveness. It demands. He said all. You know, everybody know what all is? All's all, right? I mean, that's the definition. All is the definition of all. He said we love him with all of our mind. That means like, and I know you all already failed already. That means this, that means that while we've been sitting here today in this worship service, that all we're thinking about is God. Some of you done wandered off on the UVA basketball game yesterday. huh? We done wandered off on that, and we done wandered off on this and the other thing. And I mean, so we're all, let's think about it. Think about it. All of our mind. Has God had all of our minds since we walked in the door? How many guilty of not having that? Huh? Everybody guilty, right? But he said, listen, if we love him, we with all of our mind, he said, all of our soul, that's your very being, you know, who you are, everything within you, it's not outward, it's inward. That's where God wants, that's where really love comes from anyway. It's from the inside. He said, all of our heart, which the heart and soul are tied together pretty closely, all of our heart and all of our strength. All of our strength. That means that you throw everything you have into loving God. Everything you have into loving God. This is the commandment. It's the greatest. There's not a commandment greater than this. And all the other commandments in the Bible are summed up in that have to do with a relationship with God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Every other commandment has to do with our neighbor. If you go, I'm reading in Leviticus in my own personal reading, and then I read some in the Psalms every day, but I just read through the Bible and some other places, and then I study to preach and all that, so there's a lot of Bible reading going on. But I'm in back in there, and it had all the laws about your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's cow, your neighbor's, you know, land, you know, everything that you got, you know, for your neighbors. I mean, there's a lot of law. Well, just love your neighbor as yourself. All that will be taken care of. You don't have to remember all that. You only got to remember these two things. You'll have it squared away. This command is the two-edged sword that slays and condemns the sinner. It's the two-edged sword. Have you done it? Let me ask you this. Have you loved God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? And have you loved your neighbor always as yourself? We got some problems here, don't we? We got some problems. I only got 2 points. Eileen loves it when I only got 2 points. She's only got to write 2 things down. She can get them up on the board for you right here. She smiles when I say only got 2 points. The very first point is this. What the commandment speaks to us. He said, the very first thing we see, the demand to love the Lord thy God. To love the Lord thy God. Now that's love, you know, I mean, most of the time we struggle with the definition of love to start with. We don't know, you know, it's a sensual thing to us, not a agape, you know, loving like God. We struggle with love, but he said to love God. The demand is to love the Lord thy God. Now, there's lots of classes of people in the world, and I'm going to give you 3 of them, and everybody here fits into one of these classes of people, and every single class of people breaks this command. And the very first class of people is the God-haters. The despisers, even the atheists, the people that deny God. I was telling Sunday school, you know what day tomorrow is, right? April Fool's Day, right? That is National Atheist Day. Yeah, National Atheist Day, April Fool's. Because God said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now listen, that's from God. That's not from me. We're living in this politically correct time now where, you know, everybody's, you can't offend anybody. You know, you can't say anything, even if it's a truth. You know, we can't offend anybody. We can't say something. We can't tell anybody they're wrong. That's the society we live in. But God said, I'm covering myself. God said, the fool, God calls him a fool, has said in his heart, there is no God. That's why tomorrow is National Atheist Day. April Fool. There you go. Don't go looking up National Atheist Day. You're not going to find it. I don't think. It might be. I don't know. Right there. Now, the fool says there is no God. But I know from the Word of God that man's conscience says otherwise. Man's conscience says otherwise. The fool says there is no God because they wish it were so. That's what people do. The God deniers. That's why they deny that there's a God, because they're just hoping that's the case. Because if there's no God, there's no one to answer to. There's no one. There's no judgment day. There's no hell. There's no, you know, there's people that believe, this is what they believe, that believe when we die that we're annihilated, that we cease to exist. They wish that was the truth. But I'm going to tell you, I know from the Word of God, their conscience is telling them something else. But you know what you do? You go out and you find a whole lot of people that believe like you do, and you go, yeah, there's no God. Yeah, you're right. Amen. Now you got another guy that believes with you. You feel a lot better about yourself, don't you? And if you can get the third one, you feel even better. And if you get a big old group of people right here, you can feel better about yourself if you're in a big old number saying there's no God, there's no God, even though every single person that would say that, their conscience is telling them it's a lie. But you can convince yourself, you can lie to yourself, deceive yourself. So they're wishing that there was no God. That's how they wish things really were. And so we got a group, that there's that group of people right there. And that commandment speaks to them. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength. And then there's a second group who break this command. There's the group that knows that there is a God, but yet they neglect him. Now, I'm going to tell you what, this is the group I was in before I got saved. I'm in the third group now. It's not a whole lot better, but I was in the second. You know, I grew up in a time, I never knew an atheist till I was about 16 or 17 years old. There was this one family of people that they said, oh, they're atheists. I said, what? Atheist? I had never met anybody who didn't believe there was a God. You know, and I thought back about that family. None of them. They never had you ever see people that they're just so even keeled, you know, never smile, never crack a joke, never get, you know, they're just always the same. They never had joy. They never were happy because they didn't think there was a God. You can't be happy enough. But I think there's a battle going on in here because their mind was telling them there is a God. But they said they didn't believe in God. I told them I didn't believe it, but they said there wasn't. But there's this group, they know there is a God, and you might have been this way, and you might be this way now, but you know, apparently, well, you're not totally this way because you're here, but they neglect that God. They don't have any thoughts toward him either way. They may say there's a God, but they don't pray, they don't worship God, they don't have anything to do with God, they don't look at God's word. Like I said, no acknowledgement of the blessings, the provision, the protection of God in their life. They just, you know, and I mean, I was lost, that's the way I was. I was 28 years old, I probably, something like that. It's 20-something anyway. When I was in the Navy and I was overseas and I worked at the fire department and we worked on 24 hours on and 24 hours off. Lovely duty there, Leonard. 24 on, 24 off. Port and starboard. I hated it. And anyway, I was laying in the firehouse one night. Man, I was about 20. I was 20-some years old. I was younger than that. I was probably, yes, I went in 21. I was probably 22. And I was laying there on the bed and I was looking at the plaster ceiling like that. And it just, I said, you know what? When I was a kid, you know, I said to Nan, now I lay me down to sleep prayer, you know. And I said, all of a sudden, I said, man, it has been years since I have prayed to God. Now, I didn't know what I know now, but there was something in my brain telling me I ought to pray to God. I said, there's no, you know, and I mean, as years went by, so there was all that time of no acknowledgement. At least that day, I did start talking to God for a little while right there. And so, you know, a lot of people like that, they think about things happening in by way of luck or chance or this and that right there. And so within that group, there's people that have excuses about having anything to do with God. They love some other things more than they love God. They love sleeping more than they love God. They love running around and, you know, doing a lot of things more than they love God. They claim that the church is full of hypocrites, and they like to point out the imperfections of the pastor or the congregation, and the reason is so that they can go on living in their same self-love and self-absorbed life. But the command, listen, this command is a personal command. And I want to tell you something like this. It doesn't matter what everybody else does as far as your relationship to God goes. It doesn't matter that everybody in the church is a hypocrite. It doesn't matter if everybody in the church is unfaithful. It doesn't matter if everybody in the church is not living the life that they should be living. It's going to come down to that relationship between you and God. I mean, that's it. That's all that matters. He said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And it doesn't matter if I'm not loving God that way. God's not going to stand up there and say, and you're not going to stand before God and say, well, everybody else, it doesn't matter. That command is to you. That command is to you. It's a personal command. And I want to tell you another thing. Listen, if the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites, why don't you get in there and get them straightened out? Huh? Why don't you come on in there and help them get over the hump? Lead them to a non-hypocritical life. Why don't you do that? Huh? Everybody just said, well, they're full of hypocrites. Well, come on, one more. We got room for another one. Huh? That's right. People say you're a hypocrite. I admit it. There's times I'm hypocritical. Yeah, there's times when I'm hypocritical. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The third group says that breaks this command is a lot of us fall into this group right here. All of us, if you're saved. They belong to the church. They attend the meetings. They study the Word of God. They meditate upon the Word of God. They sing the hymns. Maybe even teach the Word to others. Yet they remain complacent, cold, dead, and lifeless. Loving God with all their strength Have we ever loved God with all of our strength? That means everything that we have thrown that into loving God. That's what he said. The greatest commandment, the first and the greatest commandment is that we love God with every ounce of strength that we have. You want to have altar call now, or should I wait till the end of the message? I mean, that's what it says. Talking about God and thinking about God and affiliating with God some way and doing something for God is not the same as loving God. It's not the same. Well, how much am I to love God? Number one, we love God supremely. The Bible says this. The Bible says, and we know this command right here, that the husbands are commanded to love their wives. And you can't love your wife too much, except in this one area. If you love her more than you love God. If you love your wife more than you love God, you have made your wife an idol. Because he said we're to love him supremely. How much do you parents love your children? You cannot love your children too much, except in this one area. And listen, this is a reality. There are people that love their children more than anything. They have made their child an idol. They love their child so much they won't discipline their child. They give them everything they want, every desire of their heart. Won't give God anything. Give everything to their kids. But God said, listen, we're to love our children. I mean, we're commanded to love our children, and we're commanded to teach our children. But we cannot love our children. If we love our children more than we love God, then we have made our child, our children, an idol. You parents. Both my parents are dead. I think about my parents every day. Every day. I think about my mom's been dead 15 years. My dad's been dead 5. I think about them every single day. But I can't love my parents more than I love God. That's what he said. It's a supreme love. It's got to be above every other thing. But the Bible tells us to honor our parents and love them too. But not more than we love God. We love him supremely. We're to love God supremely. We're to love God heartily. Notice, as I already pointed out, how many times it says all. I mean, throwing ourselves with your heart. You know, if your heart's into something, I'll tell you, there's such, you know, if you just think about this, everybody's got something that they love, don't they? I like to go hunting. I just do. And I always point this out. I never woke up on a day that I was going to go hunting, got up and started milling around the house, got sidetracked doing something else and said, man, I was going to go hunting today and I forgot all about it. It never happened. I mean, I knew I couldn't even hardly get to sleep when I got in bed. I'm laying there wide awake. Man, I got to get to sleep. Before the alarm clock gets up, soon you ask my wife. That'll never go off, does it? Maybe during turkey season. But before it rings, I reach over there, boom, I flick the alarm clock off, shoot out of bed, man, woo, ready to go. Huh? Running out there. Yeah, that's how you do it, Hannah, right there. Huh? I shoot out of bed. Woo, man, I'm ready, man. I got on one boot, man, one cup of coffee. I'm ready to go. Huh? Driving like a maniac, spilling coffee all over the truck seat, trying to get to where I'm going. Yeah, man. I mean, I love to do it. So everybody's got something like that you don't have to be told. You know, if you like to sing, somebody said, well, you don't have to have a command for that. I mean, if you like to, whatever you like to do, garden time's coming up. There's people that got it, and they say, hey, you gonna have a garden? No, my garden's in there at Walmart. I ain't getting out there plowing around out there in that old yard, man, messing around with them bugs and insects and all that. Planted 3 tomato plants one time. Out of all 3 plants, I got 2 tomatoes and a worm ate one of them. But there's people that like it. And they're out there, man. Larry, man, you call Larry up in this time of year, you can't get a hold of him. Why? Because he leaves his phone in the house. He's out in the garden. Huh? He's messing around out there and he's doing this and pulling away. Great. But nobody had to say, Larry, you got to get out there and do that. They didn't make you, right? Nobody, because you like it. Probably likes eating it, but, you know, too. Whatever it is we like. When you love something, there's nobody telling you, forcing you, pushing you, you know, saying, listen, you got to. There's no law. You don't need a law telling you to do it. They don't have to make a law. You must go hunting during deer season. I don't need that law, right? This is what God's wrapping it up in. You don't need a law because it's at love. It's something that directs you in that way. All our souls, it means all of our life. We're to prefer God before our own life. Think about the martyrs. If you never read this book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Foxes is spelled like you think it is, foxes. Fox's Book of Martyrs, read that book. It's a whole book about the people that were burned at the stake, sawn asunder, skinned alive, all because they would not renounce Jesus Christ. They loved him more than they loved their life. You think, man, how do you do it? Because God gives grace where grace is needed, but you got to have the power of God on your life. Read that book. You see, man, could you do it? Could you do it? Man, you know, if God just got you down there and said, or somebody got you down there and said, listen, I'm gonna kill you right here on the spot. I'm going to lop your head off with a sword if you don't renounce Jesus Christ and say you don't love him. And you know you could say it and then go ask God to forgive you and he'd forgive you, but you didn't do it. Could you do it? I mean, it's easy. Yeah, I'd be done. I don't know, man. It's a different thing when that thing's dripping with blood and there's a bunch of heads laying on the ground already all around you, bodies laying there with no heads on them. You're watching people drop left and right. Your family's standing there before you. Can you do that? You got to love him supremely. You got to love him heartily. You know, you've got to love him. You got to put all your souls, all your mind. A lot of people believe in the existence of God, but they do not love that belief. As I said earlier, they were wishing it wasn't so, because there wouldn't be any responsibility and or consequences. All of our strength means it's speaking about activity. With strength, you do something with strength. And what it means is this, is when you keep nothing back. We don't even sing to God with all of our strength when we have our hymns and stuff. How many of us sing when we keep nothing back? Very seldom happens, right, where you really just, how many of you shouting at the basketball game last night? I mean, me and Damien looked like a ping pong ball, man. He was bouncing off of the wall. But I mean, we're having Damien. And you get all excited, man, jumping around, man. I haven't seen that this morning, Damien. This is a good message right here, man. I mean, this is a good message. And you ought to be up there doing these, going like, huh? How come I'm not getting none of that? Huh? That's all your strength, man. I mean, listen, he had to be war slam out when the basketball game. He had to be just beat. I mean, how come? But we don't, all of our strength. Putting everything we have into loving God and to worshiping God. It's keeping nothing back. How many of us hold back? I've heard people say, man, there was preaching going on, and I wanted to just slip my hand up and praise God, but nobody else was doing it, so I didn't do it. You kept back. Or if they do it, they go. It's not like, you know, you kept back. You've held back. Held back from God. If God's telling you to do that, does all of this characterize your love or your worship of God? Why love God? Boy, here's a topic you can never exhaust. Why love God? Why? Because very first it says, the Lord thy God, your God. Jehovah, it means Almighty, our Creator. Because he is love, because he loves us, because he gave his son to die for us. He sustains us, provides for us, gives us breath and life and eternal life. We have a home in heaven, and he dwells in the believer's hearts. And I hadn't even scratched the surface on why to love God. This is not an exhaustive topic by any means. I could preach for a whole year and never get all the reasons why you ought to love God. And then the second thing is what we say to the commandment. I already asked you this question. Can we keep this commandment? Now, see, I have this theological or philosophical debate in my mind as to whether, because, you know, we always ask this question, well, can we live a sinless life? Some people say, well, no, we can't do it. But then God gives us commands. Is God giving us commands that we can't keep? He's not commanding us something that we can't keep. Now, he says, if we're filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, you know, we can do all things through Christ. That's what the Bible says, right? But then the other side of the coin is, do we do it? The answer is no. We don't do it. So can we and do we might be two different things. And you can debate all day about that, you know, and talk about it. Just things like, now, so let me ask this way. Do we do it? You know, do we do it? Have we kept it? Haven't kept it. Haven't done it. But this is a command from God. The reason, and we don't do it, like I say, we could talk all day whether we can or not, but we don't. And this is the reason, here's the clincher. This is the reason that we need Jesus Christ. Because we have broken this command. And this command right here will send you to hell. Huh? Not loving the Lord. This is it. It's we haven't done it. And so we need Jesus Christ. This is where our Savior comes in. Because I'm going to tell you, listen, the Israelites asked for this. They said, give us all the law, we'll keep the law. They didn't keep none of the law. They broke it in some point. So we got the law now. You can keep the law, you're blue in the face. You're not going to do it, number one, but even if you did, you still need a Savior because you're going to break this commandment right here. Hey, listen, most of us here, we haven't committed murder, although the Bible says if you hate your brother that you committed murder in your heart and you ever hated anybody, you committed murder. Most of us here probably haven't committed adultery, but the Bible says if you lust after somebody from the opposite sex that you committed adultery in your heart. So we're guilty right there, but you might not have done the act. You might not have murdered. You might not have stole anything in your life, but I'm going to tell you something right here. Have you loved God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and all your strength? Have you loved God that way? No. This is the command. This is why you need Jesus Christ. You think about this service today. Think about how it would be today if we came to church, a church service, loving God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. Think about how it would be. Think about how our home life would be. Woo! Huh? Think about how our home life would be if the husbands and wives were loving God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, all their strength. Don't you think it'd be different? Huh? It would be a little bit different. That's why we need Jesus Christ, because He kept the command for us. I was reading in the devotion today. I'm almost done. Bear with me. I was reading a devotion book, Watchman Nee. He was a Chinese man, got saved, and wrote some books. And he was talking about this. He said, he said that man thinks his sin is awful, but he thinks himself to be a pretty good person. He thinks his sin, he knows his sin is awful, but he thinks of himself as being pretty good. And he pointed out that when Jesus Christ shed his blood, he covered our sin. But it was the cross that dealt with the man. It's the cross, the crucified. That's all we can do with ourselves is crucify ourselves. God's demands of the law are satisfied by Jesus Christ. That's the good news. We haven't kept it. We haven't loved God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. I know I got that out of order. We haven't done it. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Because He satisfied all the demands of the law. Now I will say this. You know what? This is a prayer for you right here. You can ask God, God, help me love you more. Help me love you more than I do. I mean, that's the kind of prayers God's going to answer. And then for your brothers, I always pray this prayer right here for the second part. God, love someone through me. Love someone through me today. That's loving your neighbor as yourself. Only, you know what? God is satisfied when we trust Jesus Christ and forgiveness. Listen, we're not going to be perfect. Can we? It's up to debate. But I know we can do better than we do. We can do a lot better than we do, right? That's why we have Jesus Christ. He died for us. That's why we can pray to Jesus Christ. We can ask Him for these very things. But you know, the first step is trusting Jesus Christ for your salvation. Listen, you don't even have a relationship with God if you're not saved. I could be here all day giving you that. What's the evidences of salvation? Well, repentance is one. Turning from your sin. Getting rid of that habitual sin in your life. Turning to Jesus Christ for that. You can't have a relationship with God. You can't love God. You can't even begin to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength until you come and confess that you're a sinner and you need Jesus Christ in your heart. And then God puts Himself by the means of the Holy Spirit into your heart. That's salvation. And salvation, even though, listen here, There's an act involved in that. The moment that you have faith and you put faith, and there's a day and a time you might remember that I asked Jesus to come into my heart. But I'm gonna tell you, it's not a one-time, one-and-done act. From that time on, it's a living, loving relationship with Christ that it continues on. It wasn't something that happened 40 years ago and you don't have anything to do with God ever since. No, that's not salvation. Salvation is when you have an everyday living relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you have that? You can have it if you have it. And you don't have the strength to have it on your own either. You got to depend on God for everything. Why don't you just come to God today? Let's all stand. Paul will come. Why don't you